With God's help, I desire that we would read together a short psalm, Psalm number 93, for our meditation this afternoon. Psalm number 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. May God bless the reading of his word. May we all bow on our knees in prayer. This psalm that we've read truly is an encouraging reminder of who is upon the throne, of who is in charge and reigns over all. It's not a man who is prone to failure. It's not a system that men have put together. It's not a set of computers and algorithms that are beyond feeling. It is our Lord and our God. He alone is reigning and ruling. And the Bible has promises of the coming judgment. And there is a song that is sung at that time, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And we are longing for that day. We are longing for that time of promises that are given to us in God's word that will be fulfilled. And until then, we trust in his word, we hope in his promises, and we need to be reminded that the Lord reigns. We need, very often, to remember and to be encouraged to find our refuge in the Lord, to set our anchor for our life in the Lord and in his word, to remember that his ways are the ways that never change, and those are the things that are immovable. And this psalm gives us that encouragement. This psalm so simply lays out for us the truth that God is above all. And that's a truth that the scripture constantly wants to remind us of, and the Lord wants us to grasp and understand and know. And that's one of the things that this psalm lays out for us. The other thing is also very true, and that is that the waves and the storms of life will inevitably come to our lives. We will face challenges, we will face turmoil, and one of these things that we're reminded of the Lord's glory, is something that we don't always see with these physical eyes. The waves, on the other hand, we can't help but sense them with our physical senses. And so the encouragement, the reminder, is very much like this morning, an encouragement into the faith, like the faith of Abraham, who was challenged to look beyond what his physical eyes could see and what his understanding of a human and his abilities could accomplish, and trust that the Lord will make a way. The Lord reigneth. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. We have a song in the Zion's Harp that says, "Light is his dress, and perfect his selection. He reigns as God, and his great throne's foundation is verity," or truth, "and righteousness." Light is his dress. He's clothed himself with strength and majesty. Strength and majesty, it's not a material. It's not a physical thing. Majesty is sovereign authority. It's that which is noble. It's that royal dignity. It's not a material thing. Strength. Can you see strength with your eyes? Can you touch it? It's an attribute, though, of God that he's clothed himself with. In the Psalm 96, just a little bit later, the psalmist says, "Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." These are the things that surround God. And when we think of majesty and strength, they're awe-inspiring attributes of God. And when I read this, I'm reminded of what Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year when the king of Judah, Uzziah, died, Isaiah saw a vision of God high and lifted up and seated upon his throne. And his train filled the temple. This vision of majesty and awe and wonder and admiration is a very good for us who are just as low as the dust, and our capabilities and our days are like grass, the Bible says, to look up with admiration to the Lord, to see him as one with the power, to see him as the one worthy of praise. He's girded himself with the things that are not seen with the human eye. And so we must believe. These are the things that surround him, and we can maybe grasp a little bit just comparing, you know, the majesty of a king who's adorned in his splendor and who shows his regal apparel and shows that this is a person of great might and great influence. But this is just what's surrounding him. It's just scratching the surface. It's not even getting to his essence. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul encourages Timothy in verses 14 to 16, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. No man can see the Lord. He's clothed himself with majesty and strength. And our minds cannot fully comprehend all that he is and his greatness and all the things that he has done. It says that the world is also established, that it cannot be moved. We look around and we see creation and how man is using machines and explosives and all kinds of things to build roads and bridges and to reshape the earth. But we're really just scratching the surface. There's so much that man does not touch. He doesn't have a way to change how the earth is going around the sun and spinning and creating night and day. Yes, mankind has many things that he changes and he touches. But there's so much more beneath the surface that is immovable. And God has promised that the seasons and day and night, they will not end until the Lord would make a new heaven, a new earth. God is reigning. He's in charge. He's in control. And even the things that he has made, they're immovable. And thy throne, he says, is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. There's never been a time that God has been anything less than supreme. In our world, we have one person that's in charge, or a culture or a kingdom that's influential for a time, and then they diminish and they decay. And then another one comes and rises in their place. There was no one before God. There's never been a time that he has not been upon the throne, that he has not been in control. And how encouraging that is to us. We're not following a passing fad. We're following the Lord who's been established of old and is from everlasting. Then the psalmist writes about the floods and the waves. The Jewish people were never too much into sailing on the seas. They were mostly on the land. They weren't like the Phoenicians that were sailing through the Mediterranean and trading and going all over the Mediterranean Sea. They're generally on the land, and they often viewed the sea as with awe, as something that only God can control, as something mysterious, somewhat chaotic. And here it's describing the waves, the turmoil of them. It says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. And I think about that. Think about if you've ever been to the shore or in a storm. And at the shore, the waves are making their noise. In a storm, the sound can be deafening. It can be intimidating. And it says, the floods lift up their waves. Right at the shore, we hear the waves. You go a little bit further, and the waves, they don't make so much noise, but they lift you up. They take you off of your feet. They're disorienting. And the waves and the storms of life, which are the things that are unknown, the things that are challenging, the struggle, the opposition, the obstacles that we face, they can be also, just like those noisy waves, intimidating. and we wonder, what's coming up behind us? Will we be able to stand? Or they can lift us up off our feet and disorient us, take away our foundation. But the psalmist remembers the Lord. He remembers the Lord in that moment when the waves are crashing and the experience is difficult. He remembers the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And takes great comfort and solace that the Lord is with him. But these are the two truths, God's greatness and the fact that challenges and waves will beat upon us in our life. It's pretty obvious to see that in the world, there is a lot of chaos. There is a lot of turmoil. And with the access that we have today to hear of many things that are going around in the world, it's fed to us almost instantly. All of the bad news, all of the hardship and difficulty, all of the upheaval, all of the turmoil of the world is laid at our feet. And we must remember that the Lord reigns. It is in times of turmoil that we will be tempted to look for deliverance in a convenient location. And Jesus warned his disciples, when you hear, Christ is here, Christ is there. He's in the secret places. He's in the wilderness. Here is where you're going to find deliverance. Don't believe it. Remember the greatness of the Lord. Remember his word and his testimonies, or his law, it says, is very sure. And even we heard this morning about the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a sure foundation. Jesus told us as much when he said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that the one who hears the word of Jesus Christ and does those commandments, that Jesus will consider that man as one who builds his house upon the rock. And when the storms come and the waves beat upon that house, it will not fall because it's founded upon a rock. There are many, perhaps, strategies, many ideas for avoiding the waves of life. But the Lord promises help to those, as we heard this morning, who trust in the Lord in faith, that he will help us endure those things. No one will avoid them completely. I'm encouraged by the example, again, and another example of faith that's found in Matthew chapter 8, that Jesus takes particular note of when he sees the centurion. And he talks with him about his servant that was sick. Perhaps that is a type of wave and storm that beats upon life. The frailty of our bodies. Perhaps it is a loss of a loved one. Or injury to this physical frame. For this man, it was the health of his servant. And in Matthew chapter 8, I'd like to just read that account because it walks us through a man who lived Psalm 93. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. That's an acknowledgement of the truth of the wave of life that is beating upon this man. His concern, his anxiety, the thing that he worries about and wonders about, how will this be overcome? Maybe you have something in your life that troubles you, that you do not see a way around, that you see as an obstacle. Share it with the Lord. Share it with the Lord. Explain it to him and see what he has to say. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Isn't that the view of the Lord reigning? The Lord clothed in majesty and strength? But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That's the centurion saying, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the waves of the sea. Despite the hardship, despite the challenge, despite our inability and our unworthiness, I know whom I've believed. I know the Lord, and that he has authority. He is in charge and he is in control. And all he needs to do is speak the word, and it can be done. He understood authority from his own experience. He said, I am a man under authority. As a centurion, he had generals and other people that were above him, and he knew his place in that authority structure that he needed to listen, and that also he had soldiers under him who, when he gave a command, it was carried out. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. If a man has authority to speak the word and it is done, and I believe that God is also one who reigns, can he not also speak the word and it will be done? Well, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Even as we heard this morning, the great blessing that is given to those who would seek the Lord in faith. And Jesus gives a promise that many would come from the east and the west and would be able to sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, speaking of the Gentiles that would come in and be part of that family of faith and be blessed with the promises that Abraham was given, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through his seed, through Jesus Christ. again in Matthew chapter 8, another passage that parallels well with this psalm is when the disciples were on the boat. In verse 23, it records, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" To stand in awe of Jesus Christ, to see him as great, not just a man, but to see him as our King and our all in all, then we will go to him. We will go to him when we are in need. We will cling to him when there is good times and when they are difficult. We'll find his word to be a sure foundation. And finally, the psalmist concludes, "Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." The Lord is holy. That's a title that belongs to him. He cannot be compared to anything that we can see or touch. He cannot be diminished. He is completely separate and higher than anything that we can imagine. Holiness becometh thine house. Holiness is fitting for his house and for his family. It's fitting that we also be separate and completely dedicated unto the Lord. How easy it is for us to mistakenly place our reliance upon our own strength or those that are around us. And for a time that may appear to work, but it does not last. But to have one foundation, to have one focus, to have one faith in the Lord, to have that purity and no mixture, that's becoming of God's house forever. And as we consider the challenges that maybe perhaps we are facing, the waves that invariably come upon us in life, let's be reminded by the strength of the Lord and be encouraged to put our faith in him and to have that pure reliance, not with any mixture, but to be trusting upon his word, his grace, and his help in our time of need. And he will show that he is faithful and true. May God bless his word to that end. Amen.
I believe if we were all to just simply more often think about the goodness and greatness and power and omnipotence of our God, it would truly put us at ease. It would give us rest. For the devil works through many ways to deceive us. He works through many ways to take away our peace. The brother mentioned the message of the news that seems, the news cycle that seems so instant. We hear of events as far away as possible from us, all the way around the world, and we hear about it in a matter of seconds. And the devil uses that to deceive us, to trick us, to make us fear. Fear of future AI taking our jobs, fear of financial markets, and their uncertainties, fear of wars and rumors of wars that we hear about right now in distant lands. But if we just simply put our faith and our trust in our God, then it will put us at ease. There will be no more fear, no more worries, because we know who holds tomorrow. The one who holds tomorrow is the one who holds eternity. And everything that is written in his word will come to pass. It's even what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And again in Luke chapter 21, similar thought is shared. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So we see bombings in faraway lands, and we are somewhat right now removed from it. But our faith should be the same whether missiles are striking a faraway land or our own land. Our faith should be firm no matter what happens, because our trust is not in ourselves, our trust is not in our government, our trust is in our Lord God and his provision for us. Even as we read this morning, the Lord will provide in everything in life, every need, he will provide. Let's let the goodness of God and that thought of his omnipotence, let's let that give us rest and peace, not worry. That's all the devil has to provide us with. All he has to present us with is worries, doubts, fears. But if our trust is in the Lord, then the events of this world will not seem so important. They'll actually seem very insignificant. And God's not asking us as believers to stop the wickedness of the world. He knows that we're not capable of that. It's not up for us. It's not up to us now to stop wicked men from doing wicked things. Wicked men will always do wicked things as long as the world exists. What God asks us to do is to pray. To pray and not to faint. To pray for our leaders that we'd be able to live a quiet and peaceable life. Serving our God. That's what we were put on this earth to do. To serve him. To lay down our lives at his feet. And when we do so, we're given peace and rest that the devil and this world cannot give us. May God bless his word in our hearts this afternoon. Amen.